there's an important element that I really did like in the presentation you made, is that link between human rights and sustainable or social development, however we want to call it. I believe there is a movement, as you're saying, to see development or whatever development work that is being done around the world be based on human rights values. And I believe what you did there is to demonstrate working on a specific aspect, which is the right water, based on human rights values. And I would like actually to see if you can elaborate a little bit more that link between human rights and development. Why am I saying that? My rationale behind that is that why are we defending human rights violations? Why will we come to the UPR, is because we do believe that human rights violations are actually hindering the full development of our societies. If all the human rights were realized, our societies will be in the path to sustainable development. Because we're not getting that, we are questioning those who are supposed to respect, to promote, and to, you know, the three pillars, realize. Protect, realize, to wake them up. Please, if you want the full development of your societies, please put, you know, the realization of human rights at the center, at the core of your... So would you please elaborate?
Thanks for your question. When we go to the field and engage with the various ministries, which of course don't have a clue when we speak about human rights, what we're referring to, we introduce human rights as safeguards. The safeguards to peace, the safeguards to development. And when I say safeguards, I like to take the example of this, of a table, saying, well, what human rights are going to be specifying are the boundaries. They are not going to be specifying what is on the table and how to get a better move from this glass of water to this computer. And applying that to the field of water, they're not going to be explaining how can I make water more affordable for the local population. So what kind of scheme is more appropriate, whether to use a subsidy scheme from the energetic sector, or whether to impose taxes via areas of the city. No, that's not what human rights are about. Human rights are just a reality check. But this is a massive and highly important reality check. And it's a reality check for peace, it's a reality check for sustainable development. And when we say that, that's the first huge dimension. The second, and which is not enough underlined, is that we are going to notice human rights violations not just at the level of the effects that they have, but also in terms of the process. Because that reality check, that's where we say, we need these procedural guarantees. I don't know how much you underline them, but this is, to me, actually where I often start introducing human rights. There is no human right to water if I don't have the procedural guarantees. If I don't know what is the quality of the water I drink, so access to information is a human right. There is a human right to information, to know what is the water quality that we are drinking, to have an information about who are the disadvantaged groups in the society, to have an access to, so this access to disaggregated data. So this is the sort of requests that are put forward. I can give you examples from NGOs in the field that are using, when they have this Right to Information Act, to push for access to information on the specific individual human rights they are passionate and fight for. The second is the participation. Eve underlined that, and I couldn't stress that more. If there is no possibility to check and verify and contribute to say, well, this is, in our opinion, the way this water and sanitation policy should be shaped, then how do you expect that these boundaries will be respected? A country like Mexico is an excellent example of a top-down approach. The National Water Commission is deciding on everything without any consultative process.